I don't know if you know already where we're going, right? I told you that we're gonna go to a Mediterranean for the next 13 weeks, and we're gonna go and explore the epistle of Paul to the Galatians, right? Amen. So I want you to turn your Bible with me in Galatians chapter 1. But before that, put your finger in there, but go to Isaiah first. Isaiah chapter 28. That's in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 28. Bless you. Hallelujah. Kenny boy. Are you all there in Isaiah? Isaiah 28. Are you all there? And we're going to read verses 16 to 17. Are you all there? All right. Isaiah 28, verses 16. And so this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone. That means it's been proven. A tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. So that's the implication of that word is a tested stone, a precious stone. It's a cornerstone. It's a cornerstone. The cornerstone is the one that holds. The side of that whatever is used in doing it, so that's where the weight of the wall or the roof that you're gonna build. So it's a cornerstone for sure, a foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. And then in 17, verse 17, it says, I will make justice the measuring line, and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away from refuse, the lie and water will overflow your hiding place. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. We are in awe of you, Lord God, of how that we are a sinner, Lord, a sinful man. But yet, you said to your word, Lord, that even though when we are still sinner, you love us. And Father, there's nothing, Lord, that we cannot fathom, Lord, that love that you showed to us, Lord, that you went to the cross and there. And you make a way, Lord God, and turn the veil, Lord Jesus, so that we may be able, Lord, to come to you. And you restore us, Lord. You reconcile us so that we have the freedom, Lord, to call upon you, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your presence this morning, Lord. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So here, the plumb line. What is the plumb line? Does anybody of you have any idea what a plumb line is? Plumb line. Plumb. P-L-U-M-B. It says here, Isaiah the old, it says that the one who tries to never be dismayed, it says, I will make justice in verse 17 of Isaiah 28. I will make justice, the measuring line. I will make justice. The measuring line and righteousness, the plumb line. Did you see that? Hail and sweep away the refuse. The lie and water will overthrow your hiding place. So Isaiah is going to use a plumb line. And a plumb line is like this. Do we have that there? A plumb line is like something. It's a string. And they put a weight down so that when you're making a
post, yeah. Or you're making a drywall, or no, a concrete or a fence, right? Hollow blocks. Without that plumb line, maybe by the end you're done with your fence, swinging and Sister Rose is smiling because I did that in our backyard at the end of the fence. Someone is going up and the other is going down. So I did not finish it. If you go to the backyard, it's crooked because I didn't use the plumb line. I just used this tiny measuring that a level. That's how I use. But sometimes your levels go that way. So a plumb line is like that, huh, Brother Ken? That's a plumb line. And how do you use it? It's just like this. So that your fence, your foundation, your post will be straight. And I remember when I was old back in the Philippines, my dad, when he will build a little tiny hut, a dinky hut, in the middle of the rice field. So that when summertime, when it's hot, we can go to that hut in the middle of the rice field and we can have a shade. And that when he make a post, that's just two, he used that. But we don't have that kind of a fancy weight or object in there. What we do, we just a weight like a nut. We put a nut in there, and then we raise that up, and that's our plumb line. So a plumb line is like that. So God is here in Isaiah. He's telling Isaiah that I will use a plumb line to measure a righteousness to my people, Israel. So he used that line, the plumb line, that's what God is gonna use to the children of Israel, and it did not change so much. The plumb line that they are using in the children of Israel, that this is still the same thing that we have today. Still the plumb line, and they use that to measure the fence or the post and the line to make a post in there. So that's how they use the plumb line. Okay, so he's here. So that's why God is going to use the plumb line to measure the righteousness of his children. Amen? But Paul is telling us that, remember last week, we talk about Paul, that the reason why he's writing this epistle to the Galatians, the epistle of Galatians is not specifically for a certain church. As we said it last time, that the epistle of Galatians is all throughout the northern part of Galatia and the southern part of Galatia. And there's about, I don't know, there's so many churches that Paul opened a church in there in that Galatian region, north and south. So this letter of Galatian is a specific, no, it's not a specific epistle, but it's all over Galatian churches. The church in Laodicea, the church in Thyatira, and all of these churches, the Galatian, there's so many churches that Paul wrote this letter because there's one or two, a group of people that went in there when he left the church to continue his journey. He heard that there's a certain group of people that went into this church and tried to promote their own agenda or to promote their own theology or whatever it is that Paul is saying that you have been saved by grace through faith through Jesus Christ. And then there's a group of a Jewish group in there that is trying to distract their faith on Jesus Christ, and they're saying that you cannot just do by faith alone. You have to do certain work. And that certain work is about circumcision, that you're not a true Jewish, there is a term that they use in there, unless you do some certain work. So Paul is writing the letter to the Galatian churches, and this is the main reason why Paul wrote the letter to Galatians. And first, he's saying that there is the gospel doesn't measure up in the plumb of righteousness what God has given to them. So there is certain criteria that Paul is telling the Galatian church that in order to be that they should believe on what they have been Paul was shared with them. Because what they are believing right now has four explicit write-up from the first time that when they hear the gospel. So this is number one, the number one plumb of righteousness or guide or measuring step that Paul is giving to them. Because the message that they heard when Paul shared with them is that is the right message. But because they believe on this message that another group of a Jewish group that went in there is that their message is confusing. That's what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. So Paul is telling them, I'm amazed, I'm surprised that you are so quickly deserting the message that I give it to you. Why are you so quickly deserting the message who called you to by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel? So Paul is saying, you know what? I'm amazed. I'm confused. Why is it that you just believe, you'd rather believe in a religion that will give you some kind of a work that you have to do this and you have to do that in order to be saved? Paul is saying that I give you the message which is by grace. You don't have to work with it. You don't have to bring your cow or your goats or things to sacrifice, but I give this message to you. It's by grace that you have been saved. So Apostle Paul is confused about their minds and their heart. Why are you so just quickly, this group of Judaizer here, we just came in here and so quickly you deserted the message that I told you. So here, you know that's what happened to the Galatians, but do you know that it's also happened to us here? Do you know that there is false teachers that will come, and maybe you will meet them in the road, or maybe in your work, or maybe even in the church. There are some false teachers that will come in here, and they will make some kind of a comment. And that will make a division in the church. And that sometimes will say, you know what? I don't believe on those, you know, in Christmas, you put Christmas lights. And I don't believe that one. And I don't think those are Christian way of life. So, you know, they put a, what do you call this? The yoke. They put a yoke on the people. And if we are not be careful, you know what? You're gonna be hooked into that kind of a doctrine. And so there's a warning to all of us that we should watch out. We should watch out because it's gonna happen, right? It's gonna happen, and that we have to be careful. And because even in the Old Testament, you know, you cannot trade your your faith through that 13 doctrine that you have to do something, a work, or you have to list down all the things that you do in order to be saved. But how many knows that that's not what Paul's message to all of us? Paul said that we are saved through what? The grace by faith. It's the grace of God that we are saved. Amen? That He went to the cross for us. And sometimes people could not comprehend that, you know, that song that we have, we are in awe of you, God. We could not fathom how sinful we are. But yet you're saying that you died for us in the cross. And so sometimes other people, no, I want to do some more. I don't want to be just the work of Jesus Christ. I just want to do, I'm going to work. But see, to be saved is to by the grace of God that we have been saved through faith. Amen? And that's what, there is a message that Paul wants to ask, Lord, that we have to be, you have to be very conscious or aware of this kind of spirit that will get into the church, right? Amen. Are you still with me? And it says that in like the example in the Old Testament, there's also how can you exchange your birthright to a bowl of soup, huh? And sometimes you know, sometimes we cannot understand that, but that's powerful. It's happening. It's gonna happen if we are not aware. Right? Amen. And this is Paul is saying that the other gospel that you are following, I don't understand that. I'm confused. Beyond that, Paul says it is condemned. And as we have already said, so now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you have accepted, let him be eternally condemned. So there's that. That's the strong word of Paul to the false teachers, that if you come in here and preach other doctrine other than what Paul is saying, you know what? He said, you're going to be condemned. Amen? And here's the real problem of another gospel. It's not only bad idea, but it only lacks power. Amen? Other doctrine, it lacks power. But the doctrine that Paul is saying, that by grace you have been saved, you can see that in your eyes, how God's power, the transformation power of God in the life of the believer. Amen? Have you noticed Kent? Man, he is a handsome guy. Man. Before he has this hair, you cannot even see his face. Now he's a clean-cut guy. Have you noticed it? Man, I saw him this morning, man. Nice and clean-cut. Right, Brother Paul? Before, man, we said, man, you know, there's no hope for this guy. But, but you know, we said, oh, man, but you know what? With God, everything is possible. Amen? And that's what I'm talking about, the transformation power of God. Amen? If He can change the worst of the worst, man, how much more, Brother Ken? Huh? Amen? That's the greatest thing. That's you know what? That's only the enjoyment that I have, though. Is that when you see Kent, man? I said, I think it's worth coming in here every Sunday. Amen. Sometimes I feel like I'm giving up, but when I think, man, it's just one person that make a difference, right? Right. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, God. So there is that confusing things that Paul is talking to the Galatian church. Amen. Not only that it's confusing, But it's also a counterfeit. It's a counterfeit. In verse 7a, it says, which is already a gospel, no gospel at all. It's a counterfeit. Gospel is, as we learned that last week, that it God's news. Paul says that this message is really or really a message to all, that it's true message. He brought to them, it's not really good news, it's not a gospel, but it's a counterfeit gospel, a counterfeit. Like all counterfeits, it imitates the original. It begins with part of a true message, but in particular case, it's going to drown you out. You can see that in a false teachers, the things that you're going to notice that it's gonna be like the one that we are heard about the grace, but then they're gonna add you some kind of a, oh, you need to do this in order to get to that. You have to do this. You have to perform this. You have so that you're gonna be like that. So that's a little thing. It's counterfeit, but it sounds like it. It sounds like the message of grace, but at the end there is some things in there that sometimes it points to them. It's not about the grace of God. It's not about the work of God. Did you guys get it? Amen. So it's counterfeit. Counterfeits are wrapped in the bright color of a good intention, often marked with a spiritual appearance of a religious duty, but nothing is really changed. It just diverted a little, and then pretty soon you're off the way, away from the real message of God. Amen. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 23, I don't think I put it there. It says, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgences. So there's that counterfeit, but then there's some lacking, or there's restraining, this restraining message, and they lack value or real change. Why? Because it's counterfeit. Okay? So the first thing that that Paul is telling us, that the plumb line of righteousness, the message is confusing, and then there's their message is counterfeit, and then the third one, their message is condemned. In verses 8 and 9, do we have it right? Okay. 8 and 9, it says, But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally. Now I put a eternally condemned, as we have already said. So now I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. So that's when they preach that kind of a message, they will be eternally. Listen to that word. Eternally, that means forever, will be condemned. Amen? And follow this up. If you believe, you will be damned too. See the message of Paul? In the Galatians, you see that if this message, they are message, the message that I give it to you, even though there's an angel, we are, or in the angel from heaven will preach, is that it will be condemned. And as we that even you that who believes in it will be eternally condemned also. Amen. I don't know if you're familiar with Jim Jones. In 1973, somewhere around that. How many of you are familiar with Jim Jones? '79, the Guyana tragedy massacre, that He brought about how many people? 100 people? 100 people. He brought to Guyana, and they all drank the cyanide. See? That's, you know what? It happens maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You know what? We should be careful with those people that you're following, that they're not going to bring you to this kind of tragedy. Amen? And also those other people, you remember that group of people in San Diego? That they think that that the Lord is going to take them out, bring them to heaven? Heaven's gate? Okay, so you know what? There's been around here. And is that the one that there's a Filipino couple there too? Have you heard that? The Filipino couple was ready to join with them, but this couple, they was not able to accept it. They were not able to allow to enter the house because this couple have a balikbayan box. Did you hear that? It's a joke. It's a joke. Be careful. They sometimes they will put it in a joke, but your life. Oh, you were there too, Brother Wayne? They what?
They couldn't drink it
because
they haven't eaten
the lechon. Oh, my God. Call it. So those are the things that's going on. You know what? It's crazy and it's getting harder and harder. It's getting harder and harder. And we need to watch out with that kind of a religion. And right now, or even probably today, there's a group there's a church that you will see them. It's all dressed in white. And I hope there's no blue or white people. All dressed in blue. Hey, have you seen that? The church, it's all white. Huh? Have you seen it? Even here, they have a huge, you know, that Pastor Gibuloy from Mindanao? Pastor Gibuloy, man, it's all dressed in white. Have you seen that today? No? Have you seen it in the Philippines? And even here, he come in here once in a while and rent a big stadium. And you can see all dressed in white. And when you just look at them, it's just like a robot. They are all robot. They are in dress and white. Amen. So, but that's been coming. That's been coming. And so there is we have the plumb line that Paul is using, the Lord is using for the righteous, the plumb line of righteousness to the children of Israel, is that it's going to be confusing. And number two is what? Counterfeit. And then number three, you're going to be condemned. So not only that, the false teacher that's trying to gear you to attract you to go with this doctrine, You also is going to be damned or condemned. And then lastly is, it's corrupt. Verse 10, it says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God, or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So there's a corrupt message. The confusion, I'm thinking, it's not the things people exchange for the gospel are hard to understand, although sometimes they are, but rather confusing that Paul displays in verse 6. It's confusing. And also, there's number two is what? Counterfeit. And number three is condemn. But then in number 4 is a corrupt message that they have, is that when we have again a contrast like we saw that last week between Paul and this group of people, the heretical rivals, and Paul asked, am I trying to please men? So that's a cue there, that if I am trying to please you, so that you will agree with the message, then I'm a corrupt person. You're going to hear that probably in the next 3 or 4 months, because the corrupt Hillary will come up. Okay, so but there is a message that Paul is saying, that the message of unrighteousness, that the plumb line that God is using to his children, is that it's not a corrupt message. Amen? Did you guys get me? A corrupt. Amen? So, there is a strong message of Peter to go with down. Now, Herb, you give us the message of Second Peter? Peter said, but there were also a false prophet among the people. This is in 2 Peter chapter 2. It says, just as there will be false teachers among you, they secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereignty of sovereign Lord, who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their sinful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. So that's a warning. There will be false teachers, false prophet that will entice you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord. See? Who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow the sinful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. To be aware. They will make you a story, make you laugh, make you, it's that's tingling in your ears, but pretty soon they will shamefully take you out from what you have originally heard from Paul's teaching. Amen? So there's another one. They will be paid back with harm for them they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. Anybody have a New Living Translation in here? Nobody? Carouse. What's carouse? In broad daylight. Anybody? Any of King James? Who was King James? Brother Wayne, what version do you have? New Living Translation. Can you read it to us? Verse 13? Yeah, 13.
And you will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to
carouse too, the same thing. Second Peter chapter 2. Sister Camille, do you have a New Living? They love to indulge. They love to indulge. What do you have, Brother Ray? Okay. What version is that?
This one is King James.
King James, okay. We have kings and queens in here. What's that?
Okay. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the day and time. But they are and blessed, pouring themselves with their own deceiving wine.
Wow, carouse. To the pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. Probably that's indulged. It's something that they will gather you or rob you in, huh? Amen. What else? Any version? Brother Edwin, what version do you have?
The
Living Bible. Okay, so that's
the meaning of carouse is to engage in a drunken rhythm.
Illicit?
Engage in drunken.
Drunkard.
Drink deeply and frequently.
Mm. So indulging. I think it's indulging. Huh. Okay. So the source of false teaching is corruption, is to corrupt you. These teachers want to make a name for themselves and to be looked upon as a wise person or it's somebody that will try to exploit you. Amen? So you want to know one way I found to recognize a false teacher? If every time you hear someone speaking, they are on the same topic. And the topic is not about salvation by faith in the cross, then it's probably some false teachers that have forgotten to wrap it up. So if their message is towards them, if their message is saying, you know what, I, when you hear that I, it's me and mine message, you have to be careful. Don't just walk away from them. You run. Because if you happen to believe that kind of message, not only that they will be condemned eternally, but you also who believes on them will be condemned eternally. Amen? So these are the plumb line. These are the measuring step of Paul, of righteousness. And it's applicable to us also here today. Amen? Are you still with me? Okay. So that's the measuring, that's a measuring line or object or tools that Paul is using to the Galatians when he confront this Judaizer. Well, I cannot pronounce it. Amen? Those are the ones that are teaching a false doctrine. That they are saying that not only but that you have saved by grace through faith, but also you have to do certain work. Amen? But you and I believe, according to Paul in the Bible, that we are saved by grace through faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Because that alone, that's going to be your measuring tools for those people that God is going to bring into your life. Amen? That you are going to be a witness to the dark world. Amen? Shall we all stand? Do we have the worship? Where is the worship team? Amen. So are you, brothers and sisters, are you sure that your salvation is through grace by faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. There is no other things that our salvation, not only by grace through faith, but also a work. That's not what we believe for. Amen? That we are saved through grace by faith in Jesus Christ. and Christ alone. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the message that Paul addressed to the Galatians. And Lord Jesus, we pray for your Holy Spirit to help us, Lord, to walk in the righteousness of God, that we may have as Isaiah used it, as a plumb line of righteousness, Father God. And Lord Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you that you are able, Lord, to speak to us in your own way, Lord Jesus, that we will not be tossed to and fro, Lord, by so many kind of doctrine that we hear today. And Lord, we ask all of this, Father God, in Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we thank you, Lord, as we bring our tithes and offering to your storehouse, that there will be no need in this house, Lord God, that every needs are met, Lord God, because of you, Lord Jesus, that's abundant in our life. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name.